listen. Hark. That's what hark means. Listen. And what we're supposed to listen to is glory to the newborn king. That's what the herald angels sing, herald angels were singing. But what they really sang that night was glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But in the Annunciation passage that Dawn read as our scripture reading, we hear another angel named Gabriel, and he's telling Mary this: you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, Gabriel's words, this angel Gabriel's words, identified Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah that was the hope of the Jewish nation. But we also know that the angel's announcement was for all men. And 1,800 years later, gathering together all the theological discussion and theology that's been written and so on, Charles Wesley wrote this hymn, or this carol. It is a hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, to expound all of this theology, to expound all of this theological glory that was manifested in this newborn king. And it is quite an explanation. This child was like no other child, because he was both human and divine. The God-man, that he had to come. If he hadn't come, God's original plan for the human race to rule over creation would never be fulfilled. No human king is worthy to rule over creation except the Son of God. And he is a human king. And this familiar Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, in that we hear sung to us the theological explanation of all of that. It explains why Jesus had to come to fulfill this. The first verse starts out, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild, God and Sinners Reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Jesus is the only human king worthy to rule over all creation because he brought peace on earth. Now, earth is not the physical center of the universe, but what happens with the human race on this planet is central to the destiny of all of creation, both spiritual and physical. And that's an amazing thing. On this little fleck of dust spinning around inside of a solar system that's spinning around inside of a galaxy that's spinning out in space gigantically, in that little planet, in this little earth, we see fulfilled something that all of creation is waiting for. It's waiting for a reconciliation. It's waiting for peace to be brought here, starting here on this planet, starting on the planet where humans were created. All nations should rejoice over this. There's a reason why. Because there's a reconciliation between God and sinners. This reconciliation means that the universe can get back on course. The universe can get back with the program. Now, Satan had sidetracked the program even before it ever got a chance to leave the runway. It was sidetracked. So we now see what would really be the fulfillment of God's creation and putting humans on this planet. We didn't know what was going to really happen because it got sidetracked. And this death and the turmoil that it brings into life came about through sin. So all nations should rejoice because of this birth, because nations themselves are only symbols of the human hope. A human hope to have a strong, stable, peaceful, and just government that will last forever. And it's a promise that no, and it's a hope that no human nation can ever give. It cannot produce that. Only this newborn king could do that. Only he could establish a kingdom that would never end, and that would manifest this stable stability, this peace, this justice, everything that human hopes for a nation. Only Christ can bring that. And this king's arrival is the triumph of the skies. Why is it the triumph of the angelic realm? Why are they proclaiming this? Why are they happy about this? It's because presently there is a spiritual war going on in the spiritual realm. There is a spiritual war going on. We think, oh, that's a wonderful realm. Yeah, it is. There's battles going on there right now. If you read Scripture, you find out about those. Only this king's reign will bring peace to the angelic realm. Only because of this new human king, because he's a real human and he is the real Lord. He was meant to rule over all of this, the material and the angelic realms. And that's how this king entered into human history, into our history. Christ is born in Bethlehem. That was a wonderful statement, not just for us, not just so the nations could rejoice, the whole angelic realm. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Jesus is the only human king worthy to reign over all creation, because he is the only human who is God, who is also God. Jesus, by highest heaven adored, he is by highest heaven adored, as I said in the last verse, but he's, even before the angelic realm existed, he is still the everlasting Lord. Even before the spiritual realm was ever created, Jesus is the everlasting Lord. And he did not shirk this task of condescending to become a little human baby inside a virgin's womb. Creation wasn't meant to have an invisible ruler. That's not what God intended. Yes, God created nature. God created creation, all the created world. But he did not mean it to be run and organized and to be ruled over by himself. That was not his original plan. It was for us, the humans, to do it. But he had to step in. He had to step in, and now the Godhead who created nature is veiled in flesh. Deity is now incarnate. These are the words of this hymn. And we should welcome this. We should be hailing it. That's what the word is. Hail the incarnate deity. Hail and welcome. Welcome the Christ child. No other human ever chose to be born. No other human being ever had to choose to be born. Only this king did. This king alone chose human birth. And it says he was pleased to dwell in flesh with us. He was pleased to dwell with us. There's a type of cold loneliness in some of these other religions. There's a cold loneliness for humanity in the deistic view of God, that God is separate from creation and aloof and stands personally away and just lets it run by law. That's the deistic view of God. It's very cold and lonely for humanity. There's another kind of way of looking at it. Human selfhood, the idea that we are individuals and really have worth as individuals. Human selfhood is both imaginary and meaningless in pantheistic and materialistic philosophies. If you look into that, we're just a big drop in the ocean. That's all we are. We're not really as individuals meaningful. We just make up part of the whole. And there's a sense that yes, we must be corporate, but God always keeps us as individuals. Jesus alone brought humans hope. Jesus alone validated our selfhood. He validated our human personalities by himself becoming a human personality. Jesus, his name means Savior, and he is the only human king who can bring hope in the despair that we have because of the problems we have in our human history. Because he is our Emmanuel, God with us, God with us. That is hope. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son, S-U-N, Son. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Jesus is the only human king worthy to rule over all creation because he redeemed lost humanity. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And it's talking about S-U-N. It's like a sun filled with justice will bring healing to the world. And Jesus is that S-U-N, and he's also the S-O-N, Son. He is that. Sin had thrown the human race into turmoil and death. Only this heavenly Prince of Peace could, by laying his glory by, could bring peace and life to all. Only he could do this because he is the Son of Righteousness. Now, he did this as a S-U-N Son of Righteousness, as shined forth from the cross that healing light, that light of true justice that he accomplished there on the cross to bring about our salvation. He was born as a man and died for man, that man no more may die. He was born into this world to break the chains of physical death in order to raise the sons of earth by a resurrection like his own. And he was born a human into a world of spiritually dead humans to breathe on them again the word of life and give them a second birth. Just as back in the Garden of Eden, when God fashioned the earth together and breathed on it, he made and fashioned and breathed in, and we became human. That was our spirit and soul, our spirit, soul, and body together. Again, Jesus brings us the new birth by breathing on us his Holy Spirit and bringing about that word of life that gives new birth. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Now display thy saving power, ruin nature, now restore. Now in mystic union join, thine to ours and ours to thine. Jesus is the only human king worthy of ruling over all creation because he fixed what the devil broke. He fixed what the devil broke. Whether they know it or not, Jesus is the desire of all nations because he's the woman's conquering seed that was promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God said to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. The heel of Christ was struck at the cross, but it was not completely lethal. The crushing of Satan's head is a leaf crushing. His whole power is gone. In that transaction that happened on the cross, that was our victory. That was victory over Satan. Satan had got us sidetracked. God was allowing through Christ that sidetracking to get fixed. And how he was going to fix it is when we allow this king to fix in us his humble home, then he can display his saving power. That's what the verses in this scripture, in this hymn say. The ruined nature of humanity he will restore when we invite him in, when he makes his kingdom in our hearts as a humble home. There he can display his saving power. And later on, not just human nature, but all of nature will be restored as well and fixed. Our broken relationship with God that Satan helped us into, God will mend. through Christ by a mystic sweet communion, a mystic union that God established that happens inside the human heart when we invite Christ in. To bestow on us His divine nature, He adopted our human nature, joining His to ours and ours to His. So that we have this kind of, I don't know how God did it, but somehow by Christ becoming human, when He comes into our hearts, He brings divinity inside. And our nature becomes a divine nature. That's what it says in Peter, that we should participate in that divine nature and manifest all of the different kinds of characteristics of love and patience and peace and long-suffering and all of those things that we know are godly virtues. It's because it comes from a divine nature. Adam's likeness, Lord, efface. Stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy... Let us thee, the lost, regain. Thee, the life, the inner man. O, to all thyself impart. Form in each believing heart. Jesus is the only human king that is worthy to rule over all creation because He's the firstborn of a new human race. Jesus is the firstborn of the new human race. There's not going to be anyone after that. This is the last one. It is the one that Christ is rebirthing and giving to this human race that we are, by new birth, a second human race. Jesus said in Luke 19:10 that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. What we lost through sin, the sin of moral independence from God, was a mutual loving relationship with God. We lost that. Not from God's perspective, but from ours, because of our moral independence. And the only way to regain it, the only way that God knows that we could regain it, was for the fallen Adam's likeness in us to be effaced. And the image of the second Adam from above to be stamped in its place. And that's what this hymn is so wonderful about, because it's talking about the creation of a whole new humanity based on the new human Christ. And we are going to be His children, in a sense, because we're going to be stamped with the same image that He has, the divine image, the image of God that Adam, the old Adam, was supposed to do and to boast, supposed to broadcast throughout the creation, and he didn't do it. It got sidetracked. Jesus came to get us back on course. Jesus came to establish the human race again. Jesus comes to renew the inner man, the inside, by reinstating us fully in God's love. We've always been in God's love, otherwise He wouldn't have created this salvation plan. But He wants us to have the fullness of abundant life that is in God's love, and that's what He's bringing. By His own divine life, He started the human race all over again. By His own divine life. So we have something more than we lost before. And He wants to impart Himself to all. I love this statement. You know, Charles Wesley was an Arminian, not a Calvinist. And so the Wesleyan Church is sort of has a lot of Calvinists in it, but a lot of it goes back to the Wesley idea that God wants to do this for everybody. He wants everybody to get this. But there's one thing that must happen. It's faith. We must have faith in the gospel. We must believe this story. We must put faith in this King. We must say yes to God. In other words, God's offering us all of this. A whole new career as the human race. He's offering it to us, and all He's asking is, believe me, I'm going to give it to you. But you can't receive it unless you believe. It's so simple. Children can do it much more easily than adults. And I have to say that sometimes when people get really old in life, and they're really set in their ways, it's really hard for them. But it's not impossible. There are people that you probably know that you say, oh, they just will not change. Faith can change them. Faith can give them new birth like a newborn baby. God wants to impart Himself to all, that so that through His Holy Spirit, God's image, God's image and likeness can again be reformed in each believing heart. God wants that image and likeness to be broadcast throughout the universe, through humanity, through a new humanity formed in each believing heart. Jesus is the only human being worthy to reign over all creation because He's the only one worthy to rule in human hearts. He's the only King that should rule there. Hark to what the herald angels sing. Why? Because we need to give glory and we need to give our hearts to the newborn King. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much. Thank You for helping me to get through this message with this voice of mine. But thank You for the message. Thank You for the wonderful hope we have in Christ. Thank You for this newborn King. To Him we give all glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.